The hour that packs a punch. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I know you said 5 minutes. I mean, I know you said 10 seconds, but I just ignored it. Anyway, you know what time it is. It's Hollywood News with your correspondent, Reese on the radio. All the glitz and all the glamour. It's Hollywood News. Oh, it sounds so good when you're live right here. Kevin Spacey looks like he's actually going to be back in Hollywood. Yeah, I saw the story about it today, and I went, wow, Kevin Spacey's coming back. The last big thing that he was involved with, oddly enough, was the House of Cards.
Yep.
And that was such a great role. I loved him on that show. Oh, and him breaking the fourth wall and talking with that accent. I'm a big Kevin Spacey fan. His work. But now he's got a new contract. He's working, with these Italian directors that are going to bring a new movie out. And the film is called The Contract, and Kevin Spacey is going to be playing the devil, which almost sounds perfect for him. Because look, some of the roles that Kevin Spacey's had throughout time have been really bad guys, but have been charming in so many ways. In the Garden of, goodness gracious, the Garden of Good and Evil. I know I'm forgetting the full name of it, but, I love that movie. Him, John Cusack, a very young Jude Law. That movie, I love that one. Of course, I thought he was fantastic in The Negotiator. That was a popcorn film. You like that one? Yeah. I love that one too.
And Kaiser Sosak.
You can't go wrong with The Usual Suspects. But the character that will always blow me away is the killer in Seven, and everything that he did. There were so many monologues from that, that I enjoyed. But I will tell people this. If you want to see Kevin Spacey completely destroy a script in a movie, a small independent film called Swimming with Sharks, where he plays a Hollywood producer. He is so good. I recommend it every time I mention it. But Kevin Spacey coming back to Hollywood. That's your Hollywood news. Now let's get another check of weather and traffic. Mark Christopher's got some traffic news out there for you in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
It's Reese on the radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Okay, we are back. And Aaron actually said something interesting in the chat room. I guess he is in law enforcement, as I said earlier. That's weird. Why am I hearing that? I can hear. I wonder what that is. Can you hear that? I can hear Mark Christopher. I don't know. Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, I can totally hear him. Anyway, so Aaron, yes, Aaron is in law enforcement. And he said that he was talking about his department. He says, my department had it happen a number of years back. DCF was trying to get to a home to visit on a child in town, and the mom refused to let them into the house to see them. There was no indication or allegation of danger or imminent harm. I have to go back to the page. Or imminent harm to them. So we needed consent, which she, the woman, was an attorney. She was not willing to give. After about 4 or 5 visits, Aaron and his partner coerced her or finally convinced her to let them into the house. Aaron, I'd love to talk to you about some of this as an officer in situations like that and where you've been. Let's get to the phones real quick. I want to deal with this looting thing that apparently has taken a life of its own when it comes to the EBT cards. I'm going to address that in the next half hour. Let me get to the phones now. Teresa is in Hartford. Hello, ma'am.
Hey, Reese. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Good. I'm sorry. I know you're on to another subject, but I just wanted to say to you, I think you would find it interesting to find out who is the head of DCF.
Okay.
And their background.
Okay. You're saying that the individual that is the head of DCF and find out where their background comes from?
Correct.
Okay. Are you hinting at something?
Yes.
Okay. Is this something that you want to talk about off the air?
Yes.
Okay. So let me do this. This is probably going to be helpful to me. Oh, come on. Oh, no. There she is. Okay. Sorry. Give me a second here. Roland, can you do me a favor? Can you copy Teresa's number for me? Teresa, I'm going to call you later, and then you can give me a little bit of background on this. Would that be helpful?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good enough. I will do that. You got her? You're good?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Right, he's got it. Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate you. Okay. We won't discuss that now. We'll get to it later. Hey, my good friend in the house, White Mike, calling all the way from Florida. What's going on, boss?
Man, I have been watching YouTube videos talking about these people, these bonnet Americans.
Okay. I was going to address that, but look, can we go, let's go over this.
Yeah. So, let me go one thing real quick.
Okay, here, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but if your ass weighs 320 pounds.
Right.
You don't get to tell me while you're eating a snacky cake on TikTok that you're going to starve to death. I'm sorry. And every one of these people I saw complaining about this, every one of them was fat. Everyone.
Yeah, it's, you know what, that to me, that's, it's bothersome to see that. What I'm loving, though, Mike, what I'm really loving, though, there are people of the community who are pushing back on these folks who are demanding that they get their EBT. Like, I'm watching people. It's almost this weird parody going on where African-American men and women, young and old, are on TikTok going after people who are threatening to loot Walmart and other stores in order to feed their children. But I've got an idea, and I was going to talk about this later. I've got an idea. Hear me out. I think that the police should do what the police do. I think they should guard all of these places come November 1st, and let's say mayhem ensues, and you arrest those who do, whatever the case may be. But here's what I would do after the fact. If I were those stores, I would close up shop in those communities for a month. You'd lose a little bit of revenue, but whatever. But close them down for a month. And nobody would be able to get anything from anywhere.
If these people do what they're planning to do, and a lot of these people, I'm watching these interviews, man, this could be just, you know, black women talking smack as they do.
Sure,
and,
sure,
you know,
sure.
Kind of put on airs. But the absolute arrogance and in sense of entitlement and quickness to snap to violence, this is going to be an awakening for normie white people like no one's ever imagined.
You think so? When you say a wake-up call, what do you think, like, if you were to sum up what the wake-up call would entail, like, what are you saying? Like, they would say, oh my God, I can't believe that we have been fighting for these, you know, individuals or for these SNAP benefits or whatever the case is. Like, like, give me sort of an idea of what they're going to be like, what's going to be eye-opening to them.
I think with these white people, when they see herds of bonnetishas robbing everything they can and laughing about it and shoving old Walmart employees out of the way, these white people are going to say, holy crap, maybe diversity's not our strength. You know, everybody is one good negative black interaction away from being racist in this country.
You know, Steven Crowder, did you watch Steven Crowder's interview?
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who haven't, Steven Crowder has been doing this these series. He did them one, I think, 10 years ago at this one barbershop. He goes back and visits them 10 years later. And he's in there. It's a two-part series on YouTube. And it's just Steven Crowder himself talking to a bunch of men inside the barbershop. They're all black, talking about race relations and where they've come from the Obama era to where they are today. And Steven Crowder makes this great sort of breakdown. It's like he saw it coming. I saw it coming. You and I discussed this since we've been friends since 2012. that the level of this diversity is our strength and DEI and, you know, white folks, having white fragility and, you know, assuaging the, you know, the white guilt and whatever the case may have been was going to develop a breed of racism they've never witnessed before, because it's going to be different than the we're superior than you racism of yore. This is something, an animus that people will not be able to understand or in many cases contain because they put it on themselves.
And I'm coming from a Gen Xer, right? We were the first generation to be told not to be racist.
Right.
We were fed all this propaganda and crap, and I had to listen to Martin Luther King's Had a Dream speech every dang year. Had to watch Roots. Had to read about all these people.
Right.
And it turns out, no matter how nice I am, these black people still hate me anyway. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I come into the game hated.
I get by because, you know, the black folk love me because I'm real.
Right.
But still, like, you got a lot of white people that get looked at like you're the devil, and every your client crying she can't get lobster and steak on her EBT card. People are getting tired of it.
Yeah.
People are getting tired.
I know. You know what? And it's the, listen, and this is, people can get mad at it all day, every day. And it's true. I don't care. But it's true. And I think, Mike, what you've illustrated on my program for so many years is that disconnect with reality. Because if you talking about it, me talking about it, if it weren't for a place like this, there are going to be people who are going to wake up tomorrow and won't know what hit them. Because they are going to be saying to themselves, where did all of this animus come from? I didn't realize that there was this divide between these cultures. What happened? And it was because you all knew it was there, but you weren't allowed to talk about it. You weren't allowed to say, this has gone one step too far. And it keeps going one step too far.
So many of these white people live in isolation. You know,
That's true.
Tree-lined streets, and they don't. They're not on right-wing media. They're watching MSNBC and mainstream stuff. They have no idea. And when something does go wrong with black folks, they're like, oh, those poor people. But it's like, no, it's not. They're not poor people if it's, you know, some chick who's got seven kids with seven baby daddies and she's getting $6,000 a month in EBT. That's not cool. Like, that's not the way society's supposed to work at all.
And we're not supposed to encourage it. That's the thing.
Right.
We're not supposed to encourage it. The biggest problem that we have in those communities, and I don't care what race they are, because, again, it is bled over into other folks. Now, it doesn't happen to just black folks. This is now starting to happen in the inner city with white folks. But we have got to stop finding excuses for this behavior. We have got to stop enabling it.
Most of these white folk I see acting like this, like smoke Newport cigarettes. You know
what I mean? I'm sorry. I think that's, for me, every time I see it, I say that's sacrilegious, because you know how I feel about Newport cigarettes. I always call that, I call Newport cigarettes the black starter kit, which is like, it's the cigarette you're supposed to smoke as a young black kid.
Well, you know, we white guys with a little experience, we know how to spot the girls who only date black dudes.
Yeah.
We know. We can spot it.
And it usually starts with smoking Newports.
Starts with Newports, maybe like an overlined lip. They got new baby hairs. And we know. So that's like a go-to. And if you're online and you're some big fat white chick and you're crying about your EBT, I know you've got baby daddies named Jamarcus and Lacarius somewhere.
You're done. Thank you.
All right, man. Later.
You guys thought I was bad. I'm telling you, I love my white Mike. I'm always going to love him. The chat rooms are going to go nuts. Let's go to Tom and Thomason. Hello, sir. Yes, you have to follow white Mike today.
Yeah. One of my least favorite people, but oh my Lord, I can't believe I'm really, I'm in tune with him. I'm agreeing with white Mike for the first time.
After a while, it starts to set in that the guy may be onto something.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad, but so be it. So I got a couple, points on some of the earlier things you were saying.
Yes.
I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I think she would be a great vice president.
Okay.
Or even presidential candidate. I think she's much more qualified than the other women you stated.
Oh, Nikki Haley or Tulsi Gabbard. I like Sarah Huckabee as well.
Yeah, yeah. And she's been doing a great job in Arkansas. So she's impressive. And Don Lemon, if he was a white conservative male and he said what he said, wouldn't the trans community be outraged?
Exactly, they would be outraged. Exactly, yeah. They would be outraged.
They would be screaming, "Oh, what a racist, what a racist, you can't say that."
Yep.
And then third point.
Tom?
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. If an educational system is handing out as many A's as Harvard, they're most likely a child care establishment. Real schools don't do that.
60%! 60! Yeah. A whopping 60% of A's given out at Harvard University. That sheepskin isn't worth bupkis. There's no way!
Yeah, of course. Yeah, high schools, I think, are probably better than that. So.
Listen, I put it to you this way. Harvard University is indistinguishable from Howard University, if you think about it at that level. I wouldn't ever separate the degree between those two universities.
It's funny, and it's also sad at the same time.
Yeah. You know what? But I'm waiting to that, you know, when that day comes when people actually go, "Hey, I got accepted to Harvard." And they go, "Yeah, but I'll pass." Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Yeah, exactly. You got it, sir. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap this puppy up. I'm not going to lie. You know why I like the studio more, Roland? I figured it out. It doesn't feel as fast as it did when I was in Texas. By this time, we would be over. Yeah, this feels real. I feel the 4 hours now. But it's good, like in a good way. Let's get a check of weather and traffic. Our good friend Mark Christopher's got a lot of it out there. Backups everywhere. Mark Christopher in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, man.
The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed from WTIC News Talk 1080. Download the free Odyssey app. Search WTIC News Talk 1080. And tap earlier today to get started.
Oh. I just want to play it. Why not? What had happened to us? We had a new study. I figured I'd just have some fun with it. What had happened was, as you all learned, climate change is a hoax. All nonsense. And we also learned that even while everyone is doing all this nonsense to build wind farms everywhere, they're really doing ecological damage to our waterways. And, of course, thanks to this ridiculous project that Lamont and everyone else in the state has been fighting for, only to destroy our water. And we had Michael Lombardi on the program to talk about this. So download the Odyssey app so you can hear that interview and you could share it with your friends. And let them know what's going on with a lot of this stuff that you clearly haven't been made aware of or it's been hidden from you or lied to you about. Also, we talked about the case of Mimi Torres and why there needs to be a Mimi's Law that allows the police department to be in concert with DCF so that if there is a call for domestic violence, that the police understand what's going on in the household and how many children are involved in that situation and to make sure that they're okay. We're not going to be able to solve it, in one swoop, but, you know, we'll have plenty of conversations about this in the future, and talk to the people who are involved. Maybe we should get, Rob Sampson on the phone. We'll talk to him. In the coming days. On Friday, we've got the official pastor of the Reason Radio program, Pastor Jacob Dell, is going to be on the program. We'll talk to him about an article about seances and witchcraft that's being promoted in the news for Halloween. We'll talk about that with him on Friday. He'll join the program at 4:05, so stay tuned for that. Halloween is coming up this weekend. I saw Matty O was in the chat room asking why on Saturday was all of this going to go down, because that is November 1st, and that is usually when everyone gets their welfare and EBT, as Biggie once put it. I had the first and the third rehearsed, that's my word. And that's, you know, or as the, that horrible rap group that for some odd reason you people like, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Oh, bums. They sang that song, it's the first of the month. Yes, that's what that whole, that's a, I know the song because people won't stop memeing it. I hate Bone Thugs and Harmony. Worst group ever. No, they're horrible. I mean, we're the worst group ever. They sound like a bunch of harmonizers. We got to get to traffic. Mark Christopher's in the BPS traffic center. Oh, no. Why? Why? And the fact that they would sample a Phil Collins record, all of that is sacrilegious. This is so horrible. I can't stand this group. You know why I don't like them? Oh, there it is.
The Crossroads.
The worst song ever made.
Wow.
My goodness. They are so bad. Why'd I kill my dog? Oh, I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. I hate them. Of course I do. I hate them. This is the worst.
See you at the Crossroads.
You're doing this as torture.
What's up, everybody? You know who it is.
You know who it is. You know who it is.
It's Reese on the Radio. Frederick Douglass of the 21st century.
It's WTIC News Talk 1080.
Are you just gonna play more? It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. It's just everything that they do is just horrible. And you know what? Aren't they from, where are they from? Aren't they from Ohio? Another horrible town for hip hop to come out of. You know, was the only other famous rapper to come out of Ohio? Little Bow Wow. Yeah, and Crucial Conflict. Nobody knows these bands. Nobody knows these
people. Everybody knows Bow Wow.
Yeah, of course they know Bow Wow, but I mean, do you know Bow Wow? I mean, like, can you recite a Bow Wow record?
Yeah, let me hold you. That's it.
Yeah, that's probably about it. Little Bow Wow. Just little. By the way, I worked
with him before. That's why.
You did? Yeah, I actually, I had one interact. Well, he was on the show with us back in the hot days in New York.
Yeah.
But I had the horrible misfortune of having a teenage daughter in the era of Bow Wow.
Scream Tour.
Oh, that's right. That's exactly right. So imagine this. So my daughter Ayla at the time was roughly 16, I want to say, maybe even younger. She, of course, only took advantage of daddy being on the radio when it applied to somebody she cared about. So Bow Wow does this movie called Roll Bounce.
Yep.
Which arguably is a great movie.
He's a good actor.
Chi McBride plays his dad, and a bunch of other people are in. Jussie Smollett's sister is actually in that movie.
Oh yeah,
plays the love interest of Bow Wow, and it's such a good kids movie because it doesn't play into that. It's a universal film. Doesn't matter what background you are. You will love Roll Bounce. If you haven't seen it and you got kids, you want to see a great movie about roller skating, go see this movie. It inspired kids. It's like what kids were like after they went to go see Stomp. They all started banging on things. Roll Bounce will make your kids want to roller skate. That's how fun this movie is. So she wanted to go to the premiere. There were two theaters where it premiered in Manhattan. Luckily, we got Bow Wow's theater. And she got one glimpse of him, and I've never seen this girl swoon in my life. It was the most embarrassing thing to witness ever. She was so smitten with Bow Wow, plus she was about 2 inches taller than him, which also made for an embarrassing. So they got to take a picture together, and I had to deal with that. And then the Scream Tour happens.
Yep.
And I had tickets to go see the Scream Tour in Madison Square Garden for the kids. Well, as luck would have it, I lost them. They were in my back pocket, and I dropped them walking home. And I was so upset. Well, you thought that would have ended it, right? But they knew that Ayla wanted to see them so bad, and they knew how angry I was that she wanted to go to this tour. So the program director said, no, you're going to this concert. I'm like, no, I don't want to go. It's okay. We're fine. They go, no, we're going. You're going. Because they wanted me to talk about it on the air and what it would be like to have a teenage girl at this tour. So they got me tickets to go to the Philadelphia one. I had to drive all the way to Philly to this thing. Across the street from Temple University in Philly. So I go and I go to this tour. And she, again, is there with her little brother, myself, and my wife at the time. But there were two, like three other girls who were there who were sitting next to us at the stage. Well, she instantly becomes friends with them. And it is a screaming fest for 2 hours. Because it isn't just Little Bow Wow.
It was a scream tour, though.
Well, that's what it was. It was Little Bow Wow, Marcus Houston.
Yep, Marcus Houston.
Who was that? The kid who was Little Bow Wow's hype man turns out to be the little light-skinned kid from the movie Holes with Shia LaBeouf. LaBeouf, whatever his name is. Did you ever see that? You had to have seen that.
I don't think so.
When Shia was a Disney kid, there's a film called Holes. And the kid who ends up being his best friend in there ends up being Bow Wow's hype man, on stage. And it's Marcus Houston, Omarion. B2K?
Yeah, B2K. That's who it was.
And which one were the group that the young boys that were out of Miami? The 305 boys or 305? I think they're called 305. There was an R&B group, a little quick group called 305. And I sat there through this young scream fest with these kids, and it was the most annoying thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. I still remember it as a nightmare.
I enjoyed it when we did it in Bridgeport.
It came to Bridgeport. Of course it did.
I brought my god brother. He was 15 or 16 at the time, but he really liked Bow Wow. And so I brought him with me, and it was crazy because you see a little bitty Bow Wow and you see him jumping around, running through because we were behind the scenes.
Right.
He's running through the crowd. He's running through the stage.
Yep.
And then, a big security guard had just, with one hand, picked him up, threw him over his shoulder, and was like, it's time to go and carried him to the back so he could get ready for the show. Cause he just wouldn't leave, like.
Yeah, he was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just wanted to meet everybody. Yep. He was sort of like living in that glory of being famous.
And it was like, Bow Wow, we have to go. Bow Wow, we have to go. Kept standing, and then the security just grabbed him up and threw him over his shoulder and brought him.
So Beckman said that he read that my favorite concert was Barry Manilow. Never been to a Barry Manilow concert,
Barry.
John. Never saw one. It never did. I don't even remember my favorite concert. Probably the Silver Sun pickups at Kerfuffle was probably my favorite ever.
Really?
I love the Silver Sun pickups. I've been to concerts before, but I went to go see them. I love the Silver Sun pickups because how they sound. And they remind me of the Smashing Pumpkins, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And their bass player I'm in love with.
Yeah, mine was Busta, definitely Busta Rhymes.
I've never seen a Buster.
And it was like at the height of when him and Spliff was doing the back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, they came out and it was like the Michael Jackson when he came out and just didn't do nothing and just stopped. That's what they did. And then Spliff was just walking around them, dusting his shoulders off, wiping his shoes off and all type of, it was phenomenal.
My favorite, I will tell you this, you know who puts on a great stage show, big or small? Ludacris does.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Ludacris is phenomenal on stage.
Definitely. All of them animated loud rappers.
Yeah.
From the,
early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
They all put on a great show. DMX, Ludacris, Busta Rhymes, Missy.
Yeah, I don't think I could deal with him. Missy would probably be a great show, but I just can't deal with that music. If I have to listen to that, I'd probably have to.
You don't like, I Can't Stand the Rain?
No, that's the worst song ever. I would listen
hey,
to
Bone Thugs was the worst song ever.
They just, I don't know what about, why people like them.
I love Bone Thugs because they rap and harmonize.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get what the gimmick is, but I just, it wasn't long.
It was like the Boyz II Men of rap.
Oh, that's just awful. that's just awful. But Matty O says the worst song ever is One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer. I'm not going to lie. I do get tired of that song. And by the way, it's on my banned bar list. You can't play that music at a bar. And I have these lists of songs that you're not allowed to play even around me. Like Bone Thugs and Harmony is definitely on there. You can't play Da Brat. By the way, if I may, during the trip to Connecticut, as I was playing 90s hip hop, so first you have a set list that you have, and then when you're done with your playlist, it will play music based upon what the algorithm just heard. Well, I don't know how many times Da Brat came on, and I was like, no, this music is awful. It would go through that. George Thurgood is terrific. The reason why I'm saying the Da Brat thing, I would hate it if I were ever DJing a gig and somebody made me play Da Brat.
What was the best song she had? I wasn't a big Brat fan. So.
No, I wasn't either. Funkified was probably her most
there
popular.
You go. But I like that song. Yeah. I like that song.
But I will tell you this on the George Thurgood front. I'm DJing a wedding in the in OBX, Outer Banks, in North Carolina. And the father of the groom comes over. Well, he doesn't come over. I apologize. He sends the best man over with $100 bill. And he says to that guy, tell him to play some George Thurgood, which I don't have. And I go, I'm sorry, what? And he goes, yeah, he wants to hear Thurgood. And I'm like, okay. So I have to immediately download about 7 songs. And I forget the one particular song he wants. And I'm playing this at a wedding that no one is dancing. No, I mean, you can't dance to some of this stuff, but he's just playing it. And I just have to stand there and say, because it's the father of the groom.
Yeah.
And I'm just playing it. And I'm going, this is the worst experience I ever had that I had to play this. And
but then, you got $100 for it. So.
Oh, no, no, it gets worse. So once they find out that the father of the groom is making requests at $100, the mother of the bride comes over with $100 in her hands and she goes, play everything by KC and the Sunshine Band. Thankfully, I had some, but then I downloaded some other stuff.
Well, that's better than
at least the day. Exactly. Thank goodness for KC and the Sunshine Band because she inspired everybody to get up. She was like, I couldn't listen to another song by him anyway. And so I started playing KC and the Sunshine Band and that finally livened things up, which didn't make me. Make me feel too bad. Craig says anything Sheryl Crow needs to be banned. Also agree. Also bad. The Electric Slide.
Now you got to keep that.
No. I will not play group dance songs.
No,
any one of them. What's the other one? The Electric Slide. What's the other one? The other one. The Wobble. Wobble baby. Yeah. Wobble baby. Won't play it. Won't
big
play
old
it.
Butt. Boom.
I won't play that. Ba-doom, ba-doom. My wife loves that song.
I love that song too.
Wobble, I will not play. What's the other one?
Now they got the fan song, so.
And the other one. Oh, the Cha-Cha Slide.
The Cha-Cha Slide. You gotta play that.
Cannot play those games. Oh.
You gotta play those, man.
And they go crazy every time you do.
And you gotta play them back to back to back to back.
Oh, they just. Michael A. says, what about the Macarena?
Hey, they normally don't play that, but I wouldn't mind.
Okay, Macarena is so old now, you could probably play it again. The Chicken Dance, I would play that. I would play the Chicken Dance, probably because I think it's funny to watch people do the Chicken Dance.
Yeah.
So I would play that. But the Wobble, I hate
that
song.
Yeah, the Wobble, man. That's that DC vibe.
John Beckman says, I'll pay you $200 to play the Traveling Wilburys.
Oh.
I'll take $100. I love the Traveling Wilburys. I love them. Anyway, let's.
throw out your cash. Oh yeah, Reese, I wanted to say this too.
Yes.
Man. Oh man, I don't even know how to say this.
Is it good or is it bad?
It's not good.
Okay. Tell me.
Oh man, really coming up on some hard times, man. I was wondering if you could loan me a couple dollars, man.
No! No! Absolutely not! Absolutely not. We got to get up out of here. I cannot believe this. I am not. We'll be back tomorrow. More news, more views. And don't forget that tomorrow is Thursday, and we are back to normal. So don't think anything's changed. It's just going to be brand new. There he is. Mark Christopher's in the BPS Traffic Center. I love the Traveling Wilburys, man. It's Tom Petty.
Yeah, pretty good lineup there.
And Roy Orbison,
one of the
unsung heroes.
You know what? People in the music industry loved him.
Yeah,
He was like a god to all the musicians.
Let me do my closing tag. As I always say, and keep them rolling. As I always say, radio is free, so we thank you for paying attention. Remember to keep JC in your hearts and in your minds. Sean Patrick, we love you and we miss you. Remember that panic is not planning. So plan your work and work your plan. Me, I'm Reese on the radio. You have a good night and pleasant tomorrow. Mark Christopher's getting you home. Good night, sir.
Plan your work, work your plan. That's good advice.
Yes, it is.